Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Mark. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 26.
When I find that my walk is suffering, I'm not as close to the Lord. I'm in Decapolis. I'm hanging out with worldly people. I'm doing worldly things. Surely the Lord's not going to do anything miraculous in my life here. But when I'm in Galilee, surely he can. Yeah, I'm close to him. Sure, I'm reading. I've been reading the word, Lord. I'm looking for that miracle. But if we find ourselves in Decapolis, hanging out with everybody else, doing what everybody else is doing, we have a tendency to hang our head and say, surely the Lord is not going to do anything miraculous here. Here's the thing. The Lord loves you and has compassion for you, even whether you're in Galilee or whether you're in Decapolis. He still loves you. And he still has compassion for you. Because if he had compassion for you and reached you when you were in Decapolis altogether, surely when you become a child of his and you find yourself in Decapolis, he's going to have compassion for you. Because he loves us. That's how much he loves us. So let us not get caught up in that mentality as well. Look at verses 11 to 21. So then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, oh, why does this generation seek a sign? Surely I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of this, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 12. And also when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Now, after Jesus left his encounter with the Pharisees, who were the conservative religious leaders of the day, Jesus says in verse 15, says, take heed, beware of the leaven of, number one, the Pharisees. Number two, the leaven of Herod. He says, take heed. Horao is the Greek word, and it means to discern clearly. And he says, beware. The Greek word is blepo, and it means to perceive or regard or beware. So the Lord is saying, discern clearly and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Leaven is always used as a symbol of evil in the Bible. Leaven is yeast, and it causes the dough to rise through the putrefaction process, the rotting process. As the dough rots, it releases tiny bubbles and causes the dough to rise. As the leaven rots, it causes the dough to rise. Tiny bubbles are released. And that's how you get the dough and make your donuts and, you know, cinnamon rolls and all those good things that we love with that rotting dough. You know, we just love those Krispy Kremes and, you know, those types of things. The leaven of the Pharisees is legalism and hypocrisy. They had a bunch of rules and regulations that outwardly gave them the appearance of being righteous, but their hearts were not right with God. They were religious phonies. The leaven of Herod refers to the Herodians who tried to bring about righteousness through political rule. But like the Pharisees, it was just an outward show. Both of these groups, Jesus warns his disciples to beware and stay away from. Why? Because hypocrisy and legalism are like leaven. They will start off small and innocent, but eventually they will begin to eat away and cause our relationship with the Lord to rot. How? Because it is all an outward show. Putting on an act for people on the job, putting on an act for the family members when it's time for family reunions or holidays. And eventually the show will end. It will be over because as soon as people get close enough to you, they will see that it was all an act and you'll be seen as a big phony. And this is why you don't allow people to get too close to you. Because when they look into your life closely, they see all that praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, is just a phony. It's just a false show that you put on to try to outwardly appear to be righteous. But all the time, you know, it's just a show. So you fence yourself in with legalistic rules that outwardly gives the appearance that you're righteous. But as soon as people can come close and peek over the fence of your life and look down into it, they see it's just a show. It's a big show that you put on. And this is why Jesus says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. And in Matthew 16, verse 6, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were the liberal religious leaders of the day. According to Acts 22, verse 8, they didn't believe in the supernatural or the afterlife. They denied miracles and the existence of angels and the resurrection. They were very materialistic because they felt there's no afterlife. All there is this life. So let's just live it up. And they were very materialistic. So Jesus is warning us to beware of these things creeping into our lives and rotting us from within. Let me ask you this. Have you become one of these people in your home? Has this been eating at you? You're a Pharisee parent with your strict and, watch this word, unreasonable rules and regulations. Your children do anything wrong, you punish them and banish them for the rest of their lives. You do so to your children because you want them to outwardly appear to be godly children. But inside their heart, they're resenting you. Hey, you know, I remember being this way. I'm so thankful that, you know, children, they just grow up and forget a lot of that stuff. I'm so thankful. Because I remember I used to be a Pharisee in my home. I was younger, you know, I was in my 20s in ministry, and I was just, you know, I was just Mr. Pharisee in the home. I had strict and unreasonable rules and regulations. Every child needs some rules, and that's going to govern the home. But I had some strict and unreasonable rules and regulations because outwardly I wanted everyone to see that Pastor Tony's children are well-behaved and well-mannered. And I remember when I was in California, and all of a sudden I was there, and, you know, I was talking to someone in the church, and I told the kids to, you know, just sit right here, you know, I'll be done in a minute. Just sit right here, you know, shut your mouth. Be quiet. So they were kids. They were just little kids. And, you know, little kids do, they poking each other and laughing. Then they just started kind of going through doing like this. And I'm like, I'm trying to talk. I'm like, sit down. You're going to be in for it. Sit down. And I went back to talking. They just kind of, you know, still poking, kind of playing. I got those kids in that car. I pulled out my comb. Pop, 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 pop. Did you ever embarrass me like that? And, you know, I look back on that stuff, and I'm just like, good gracious. I was just such a Pharisee. And I had these because I wanted everyone to say, Pastor Tony's children are well-mannered and behaved, and they should be. However, I was doing so by being a Pharisee. And all the time when we do that, I tell you, our children, they grow up and they resent us for it. If something is in the Word of God, hey, I always tell them, look, we govern our home by the Word of God. If you got a problem with that, take it up with God. But sometimes we add these little rules and stuff how we were brought up. And it don't mean that it was biblical how we were brought up. And we put that stuff on our children and we become Pharisees in our home. And I know because I was one. I was one. Thank God they don't remember a lot of that stuff, you know. Oh, goodness. I'm just like, Lord, thank you. Thank you. They don't have memories like an elephant, and they remember that stuff. Thank you. But you know what? Maybe you're not a Pharisee. Maybe you're a Sadducee. You're a liberal parent. Anything and everything goes. You let them watch whatever they want to watch, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. You're the liberal Sadducees. They have all the latest gadgets. Because like Sadducees, who were very materialistic, so are you. And you come and you justify this behavior because you say, well, I want them to have everything I didn't have. Really? You give a child everything, they'll be brats. And that's why they are. Brats! And giving our children's ministry just the business back there. I want what I want. I'm going to tell my mommy. I will be like, well, tell her. They're lucky I'm not back there. Y'all lucky I'm not back there. Tell them. And matter of fact, when your mommy come here, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to say, this is what, and this, he said this to me, and guess what? Where I put him? Put him right in that corner. That's where I put him, in the corner. Old school. Put your nose on the, right in the wedge. Them old, see, y'all don't want me, y'all going to keep me here. Don't let me go back there. So you, if you're not a Pharisee, maybe you're a Sadducee. But notice how Jesus said both of these groups will become like leaven in our homes and will begin to corrupt it. Eat away at true godliness. Instead of us coming from the word of God and allowing God to work true godliness in their lives, we're trying to produce godliness through being a Pharisee or being a liberal. We're being a Sadducee. And we just say, oh, we let them do whatever they want to do. It reminds me of this one parent. My wife was talking to some lady. I forgot where they were. Talking to some lady, and she was saying, you know, yes, well, my daughter, you know, she's possibly can go to this Christian university. And, you know, but I don't know about her going to this Christian university because they try to shove, religion down their throats. And my wife said, it's a Christian university. That's what they do. They teach the Bible and everything is filtered through the Bible because it's a Christian university. I think she's been hanging out with me too much, because that's exactly what I would have said. I'd have been cynical like that. It's a Christian school. She said, but you know, I don't want to shove religion. I just let them make their own choice, their own decision. I said, what a foolish parent. Because it's not right. It's not right when we do that sort of stuff. You know what? We don't let our children make their own decisions when it comes to what they're going to eat. If you leave it up to the child, they eat ice cream, cookies, candy. But you as a parent, responsible parent, you tell them, hey, there's some vegetables you're going to eat. There's some corn, some green beans. There's some things you need some green in your life. And you tell them that because, you know, nutritionally, they're going to grow up. If they just had candy, it won't be right. But you tell them as a good parent, like you should, that they have to have some vegetables and stuff. You don't let them make their own decision of how nutritionally they're going to grow up. But we take the decision that their eternal soul rests upon, and we just let them figure it out. Just figure it out. Go on out there. Think whatever you think. It's like, really? The thing about it is, notice the extremes of both of these groups, whether you're the Sadducee parent, you're liberal, everything goes, anything goes, because I don't want to let my children figure it out. Or you're the Pharisee, where you got the unreasonable rules and regulations. And I want to say again, every home needs some rules and regulations that governs it. But notice I said unreasonable rules and regulations. They sneeze and you banish them for the week to the room. I just sneeze. You hear me sneeze? I told you going to burn them germs all over the place. You know? And you're just crazy. You're crazy in your home. You're Pharisee. I've been there. You listening to a reformed Pharisee. I've been reformed. And this is the thing. Jesus said both of these groups, they will have a way of eating away at our lives. Then in verses 17 to 21, Jesus makes it clear that there is a direct correlation between a hardening of the heart and us failing to remember. Jesus said in verse 17, how is it that you do not understand? Is your heart still hardened? And then watch this. Then in verse 18, he says, how is it that you do not remember? Showing that there is a relationship between us hardening our hearts and failing to remember. When is it that I harden my heart towards the Lord? When I fail to remember the bread he has provided for me previously. Our hearts will soften when we take time daily to feed on the bread of the word of God. Because when we do, this reminds us on a daily basis of his love, of his grace, of his forgiveness. When we don't read daily, we will find that we will have a tendency to forget, and our hearts will begin to harden towards the Lord, thinking that he doesn't care, when all the time we've failed to get into the bread of the word to remind us of his goodness, to remind us of his love, of his grace, of his forgiveness. I'm telling you, your heart will become hardened towards God when you neglect the bread of the word of God daily. Because daily, as we're in it, we're reminded of his love. We're reminded of his grace. We're reminded of his forgiveness. We're reminded of these things. But when you neglect this, your heart will get hardened, and you'll have a tendency of accusing God of things he shouldn't be accused of. You're unfair. You're not right. If you cared, you would do something. So obviously you're not doing anything. You left me like this. Therefore, you must not care. I know if my child was like that, I would do all I can for my child. So you're not doing anything for me. Hey, you must not care. That sort of mindset comes from a person whose heart is hardened and they haven't been in the bread of the word. Maybe I just described you. Maybe lately you've just been thinking that God is he just doesn't care. I guarantee you, without even talking to you, you haven't been in the bread of the word lately. And your heart is a little hardened towards God because some relative you prayed for died, or some job you wanted to have, you didn't get, some position you prayed for, somebody else got it. And now you just got a little hardened because, you know, and God, you said, and I guarantee you, you've been neglecting the word. I can guarantee it. Look at verses 22 to 26. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on him again, his eyes again, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now, Jesus comes to Bethsaida, which was north of the Sea of Galilee and east of the Jordan River. When he arrived, they brought blind Bartimaeus to him so Jesus can lay his hands on him, according to verse 22. Notice how verse 23 says Jesus led this man out of town. Why? Because Jesus wasn't into putting on a healing show. He wasn't into miracle extravaganza. Jesus will heal. Come and see Jesus heal blind Bartimaeus tonight at 7. Jesus wasn't into putting on a show. It wasn't about that. So he took this guy and led him out of town. Oh, how the church need to see how Jesus did things. Jesus wasn't in a big tent and had a bunch of folks come and he put his hands on their head and they fall out and all. Jesus wasn't into that. Jesus wasn't into putting on a show. Jesus took this man out of town and spit in his eyes and put his hands on him. And according to verse 24, had him look up. Bartimaeus said, I see men like trees walking. Then Jesus put his hands on him again and made him look up, and he saw everyone clearly. I love this about Jesus because he healed people differently. He did not allow us to put him in a box saying Jesus only heals this way. If you want to be healed by Jesus, hey, you got to let Jesus got to put his hand on your forehead. He got to slightly push just a little bit. So you got to keep your balance now. Slightly push. That's how Jesus heals. Or if you got a headache, somebody pray for you. They need to pray to put their hand on your head. That's where your headache is. If they put your hand on their shoulder, you ain't going to be healed. That headache going to remain there. Jesus won't let us put him in a box like that. He said, you're not going to put me in a box. I will speak the word. There are some people that's going to be healed. I will touch them and instantly they will be healed. There's people I will spit in their eye and put my fingers in their ears and they're going to be healed. There's some I'm going to spit on the ground and say, here's mud in your eye. And he did it that way. Jesus said, I'm not going to allow you to put me in the box. Said that God only works this way. I work in a variety of ways. That's why the Bible says my ways are past finding out. You can't figure me out. As soon as you think you figure me out, I'm over here. Because I'm smarter than you. And the Lord said, I'm not going to let you do that to me. Put me in a box. But you know, there's something else I want you to see. And so often we're just like Bartimaeus. We see people like trees walking. We have no problem loving God. But we do have a problem with loving people. We see people like trees walking. Puns intended. We see people like trees walking. They stomp on us. And we wish they would leave. There's a few. See that? Yeah. And then we turn and try to cut them down. I mean, you know, some of you won't get it till you get in the parking lot, but that's okay. That's all right. And we do. We see people like trees walking. And it might be a father who was never there for you, a husband that left you for someone else, a boss that fired you. We see people like trees walking. But Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These two are linked together. In other words, we cannot say we love God and all the time we hate people. So how do we love people that we only see as trees walking? Verse 25 says that Jesus put his hands on Bartimaeus again. And sometimes we have to go back to Jesus again for a second touch, a third touch, a fourth touch. Keep coming back until, like verse 25, until we see everyone clearly, not like trees. I don't know about you, but I need to come back to the Lord several times because there's people that stumped on me and there's people that stumped on you. And then I, in turn, want to cut them down. And I cut them down with my words and cut them down in my thoughts. And I see them like trees walking. And the Lord said, you need to come on back with me. Come on back. Let me touch you again. And let me keep touching you until you see everyone clearly and not like trees. Let me conclude with this. Let me conclude by asking you, what's eating at you today? Maybe you saw yourself as a Pharisee with your heavy-handed rules in your home. Or maybe what's eating at you is that you saw yourself as a Sadducee, a liberal parent. Anything and everything goes. But you see how your home is still out of control. Or maybe what's eating at you is that you know that you don't have a relationship with the Lord and your conscience is beating you up. Today you need to end the fight with the Lord because you cannot win. You have sinned against God and you're feeling guilty. You know why you're feeling guilty? It's because you're guilty. Today, they try to send us to therapy and counseling sessions to remove the guilt. Let me tell you something. Guilt is a good thing. You know why? Because it's a little mechanism in us that God has put in us to let us know we're guilty. That's why we feel that way. Because we're guilty. Somebody, the person at the register give you too much change back. And you take it in, you going home and you're like, I just feel guilty about that. I know they should have gave me a dollar. They gave me a 10 instead of a dollar. You feel guilty. You should feel guilty. And don't chalk it up as the blessings of God. God bless me. Get back to that store. You're guilty because you're guilty. And you need to get right with God. We're going to help you today to come to God and get things right with him. There's going to be some people up here available to pray with you. And you need to get things right with him. There's some of you that needs to come to the Lord for the first time and surrender your life to him. There are some of you who have drifted that need to come back home to him. And just remember, no matter where you find yourself, whether Galilee or Decapolis, he has compassion for you and he loves you and wants to draw you unto himself. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the things you have shown us in your word. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw people unto you. Draw your people, draw your children home. Draw them home to you, Lord, by your spirit. Some need to come and surrender their life to you for the first time. Some need to just come and come back home to you. Draw your people unto you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvaryNN.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.